All right, and welcome back to our second episode with Marty Stauffer on A Businessman's Guide to Almost Everything, the show where we are discussing interesting fields, interesting organizations, and the people that run them. I am your host, Cole Brzenji, and I am still on a journey to learn more about insurance. And today we're going to be talking a little bit about the field of insurance and what seems to be, at times, just the hellscape it is working in it at the moment, because things are not easy over there, is it?
It's a challenge, more now than typically, yeah.
Yeah, that's a fair way to put it. So, Marty, first off, introduce yourself. Where are you from and what do you do?
I am Marty Stauffer. I am with Stauffer Insurance, an agency that I started about 5.5 years ago in Linden, Washington.
All right. So insurance has been having a bad few years.
Yeah.
I think that's a fair way to describe it. Can you, broadly speaking, explain what's going on exactly?
The insurance companies have taken a lot of loss, more than they anticipated, and they're doing what they can to get caught up. Until they can get caught up, what they're also doing is making massive restrictions through their underwriting, through their expectations of what you're allowed to get away with through billing issues or whatever. They are canceling people in a way they haven't in the past. They're paying closer attention to each of their customers in a way that they don't always do. It's what we call a hard market. Mm. Now, last time we had one of these was back in 2008, 2009, when I got started in the industry. Mm-hmm. It didn't last as long as this one has. This one's been about 2 to 3 years now, but we are estimating 2025 looks better. So hopefully that is in fact true.
So when you say better, does that mean rates are going to go down or rates are going to be steady and they're not going to increase?
No, that's a very good question. They're not going down. I would love if they would go down.
Right.
They are not going to go down, maybe ever. That's just, jeez. Insurance is always going to keep going up. I would say it this way. You go to your auto body guy, at no point do we expect that his shop rate is going to go down, right? At no point do we expect the cost of repairing a car to go down. At no point are we expecting that a lawsuit for somebody that was killed in an accident and now wants to sue for such is going to go down. Things are only going to continue to go up. And so when we hear stable, like when we hear that it's supposed to settle down, we hear it means it's not going to be going up next year. And as the person that has to answer that phone call and that question of why did my rates go up a good 3 to 4 to 5 times every day, I'm down with stable.
Oh, geez. Yeah. And you know what? Given how fast things have been increasing, that's stable is okay. Maybe not fun, but it's okay.
Correct.
So I got some numbers here. Want to hear some numbers? So let's talk about State Farm. State Farm is the biggest of the insurance companies at the moment. I think they take about 10% of American market share.
Yeah.
So huge. they described 2023 as a year of, and I'm quoting from their report, catastrophic losses.
For sure.
Yeah. Specifically, their underwriting loss was the greatest in 100-year history. Their 100 years of operating in 2023 was the worst.
Yeah.
Specifically, they lost $14 billion, which is a lot. But here's the thing. From 22 to 23, they had grown the revenue from $45.7 to $56 billion. Yeah. That's a growth of like 22% in a year. And that growth was still not enough to offset the losses.
Correct.
That is insane.
Yeah.
And 24... I don't think it was much better, a little bit better, but.
I'm hearing it's slightly better for them, which is nice. They are the big one, and there's other big ones as well, that they take a loss when there's any massive loss. I mean, I'll give you an example on a very, very small front is when there's a fender bender on the freeway locally, I'm hoping one of my clients isn't involved in it for multiple reasons, obviously, but I have to wonder, you ever see a 8-car pileup on a freeway, you know for sure there's a State Farm client in there. Like, that's just how that's going to work. So even with the wildfire that's currently happening in California, you know State Farm's going to get hit worse than almost anybody on those. So yeah, they're taking massive losses and being kind of the leader in certain aspects in the industry. They kind of get the spotlight shown on them a little bit more than we do on us.
For 24, they also had another report that was saying that they're doing a little bit better. I think this was still a projection about halfway through 24. And they credit their offsetting of losses because they're still losing money, but they're offsetting it by raising things like car insurance by, I think the average was close to 19%,
yeah.
18.8, which is like, that's a year.
Yeah.
Over 1 year, 20%. How much do you think insurance has gone up for things like home and car over the last 5 years since COVID, really? Because it seems like everything's just gone so much more expensive that it's hard to keep up with.
The specific numbers, I'm sure, will come out in the next few months as we now hit the end of the year, and they can kind of start to really tell us some of that. I will tell you this, that they typically don't increase it the amount they want in one fell swoop.
Right.
They go to the insurance commissioner and say, hey, we'd like to up it by this amount. Insurance commissioner says, no, but I'll let you do it by this amount based on what we're talking about.
Right.
They have to go back and they have to provide proof that that wasn't enough, that we're still taking a loss. Mm. And then they can go back and ask for more. And so in certain cases, we've had some companies that have stayed steady until a big 30 or 40% increase. And that was terrible.
Right.
And then we've had others that have done 20%, followed by 17%, followed by 21%. Also terrible. Mm. It's not fun either way.
No.
So yeah, the companies have their own way of doing things. But I'd say the average, I had a company come to me 2021 and the rep said, I would expect your home policies between 21 and the end of 24 are probably going to double. She wasn't that far off. It yeah. was probably a good 70 to 80% on a lot of homes. So that's why we get phone calls every day from people saying, you know, mm-hmm. oh, my rates have gone up so much. What can you do for me? We usually start with saying, it's been going up everywhere. This isn't your agent making this happen.
Yeah.
The company you're with did not make this happen. This is just losses in general, and everybody's getting caught up. Everybody's raising, but let's do some quotes for you and let's find out if you're still in the best situation.
So like right now, California, I think it's been going on for about a day now. Massive fire. It's yeah. like destroying Pasadena.
Yeah.
Obviously that's huge, but we've had fires in the past. Why do you think things are going up so much? Are just natural disasters increasing? Are prices of homes just getting too expensive for insurance carriers? What's going on?
Well, in many ways, people are expanding communities into the foothills of places. And mm-hmm. so you see these places that used to have wildfires and there wasn't a lot of homes up there. Well, now some of those homes are beautiful and new and million plus dollar homes, mm-hmm. or in California, maybe double plus that.
Yeah.
So those losses, they're not small losses, and they don't have fire trucks right around the corner. Mm. Like, they catch on fire, they're going to burn down in many situations. So those are massive, massive losses when they have these fires. And like I said, with the example of the 8-car pileup, you have a big one go through an area. You know State Farm's going to get hit really hard. You know some of these other ones. And yeah. It does. It all trickles down. There was a few years ago, Houston had some massive flooding.
Yeah.
Massive flooding. Flooding is a specific coverage on a specific policy. So not all homes have it. Mm. But if you have comprehensive coverage on your car, you're covered to replace your car. So there was total cars everywhere through there. That affected rates yeah. on both probably a local, regional, and national level. So it plays a role.
So it sounds like with insurance companies, big and small, they're kind of forced to be a little bit behind what the current prices of things usually are. The insurance commissioner has to go, okay, you can raise your prices by this much. Now that things are getting steady, are we really just seeing insurance prices level out after maybe some of the craziness in COVID and just how things spiked back then? It took 5 years for us to finally get the insurance companies adjusted to what they've probably been paying for those 5 years?
In part, yeah. I mean, it's what they call it, a loss ratio. And so if, for example, an insurance company is bringing in $100, they kind of have the math that says, well, in order to do operations, cover all of this, take care of all, have a profit, we need to be paying out loss ratios in, say, the 80% mark or whatever it is. That's right. Kind of our expectation. When we started a business, we expected for every dollar we're charging, about 80 cents goes back out in claims in that. Well, it hasn't been that way for years. It's been over a dollar being paid out. They've been losing those monies. And it doesn't mean that there's still not a ton of money flowing through these companies. There absolutely is.
Sure.
But it does mean the actual losses have exceeded how much they were bringing in and projecting for said losses. And that has played a big role. And insurance, I tell people all the time, insurance is shared risk. It's a transfer of risk. We decide how much we want to give onto the insurance company to take rather than us taking. So if I have collision coverage on my car, that's my way of saying, I don't want to pay to repair my car if something happens. I want you to pay to repair my car if something happens.
Right.
And so I'm choosing to transfer that risk over to that company. I could also withhold that. I could say, I'll keep the risk on myself. Insurance is also a shared risk. So it's a bunch of people hanging out in the same swimming pool. Something bad goes on in that swimming pool, everybody gets affected by it. So you drop a big shark in the middle of that thing, everybody's going to be upset. They can't just go, wait, wait, wait. I didn't mean to swim with the shark. Like there could be problems. So we definitely tell people that it's a transfer of risk and you decide how much you want to put on them, how much you want to keep yourself. And remember, it's shared. So tell your friends not to do fraudulent claims and, you know, report it if there's something bad, and don't make small claims, because that's just a way to kind of, stir the pot. So
this is kind of, so I didn't always used to live in Washington. I came from British Columbia after living there for a few years during college, and in BC, they don't have private insurance. Mm-hmm. They kind of have a few automotive private groups, but it's really just like add-ons to your real insurance, which comes from the government of BC. And I knew a fella, and he was really proud of this. And he would talk about how he had gone through 8 cars. He only ever bought one of them. He bought the first one because he knew how to get into a roundabout, get into an accident the right way. And ICBC, which is their car insurance company over there, he knew how to get them to buy him a new car every time.
Yeah.
And that was once a year for 8 cars. I don't know if he's still been able to get away with it because they've been changing some of their policies up there. But it's because of that I think ICBC was losing something like $1 billion every year. And it was only increasing every year. Yeah. So like the fraudulent claim, it's an interesting point because I've heard other insurance agents talk about how sometimes they can kind of tell who the fraudulent ones are. And I don't know, have you ever had that experience? Have you ever had a fraudulent customer come and try to wrangle you out of something?
Well, the interesting part is since you make friends with your customers, you make these relationships with your customers. Sometimes they'll ask you a question point blank and you just have to say, yeah, that's insurance fraud. And they go, oh. And like, they were just truly, they weren't trying to be evil or hurtful, or they were just trying to say, hey, this is my policy. Is there a loophole that helps me get this covered in a way? Do I just tell you that, you know, my roof that's having these issues, that there was a big windstorm last week? Like, no, you don't get to just make this stuff up. So, but that is part of what insurance is had a problem with, is that there's just so many, fraud can be so many layers to it. And some of it is an agent problem. Some of it is an agent that's trying to save their customer money. So even though they're driving down to Seattle every single day, we're going to say, oh, they're a pleasure use. They're just pleasure use on their vehicle. At times it feels like the industry really benefits an agent that's willing to cut a corner. And that's unfortunate. It shouldn't be that way. I would say in this hard market, the agents are a little more under fire than they used to be, and that the insurance companies are really watching and they're auditing and they're taking a look at the way we've written our things. They're looking for fraud and they're looking for who's committing this fraud. And they're starting to deny things when somebody cut a corner. It used to be, if you were hiding your 17-year-old that's driving your car and is licensed, that they didn't necessarily know that. Well, they've got reports now that they can pull that there's another licensed driver in your household. We want to make sure that we get this one covered. You then tell us, no, I don't have any more. Well, now you've lied.
Right.
Now you've lied. And now if there's a claim that involves that kid, they can deny it. And those are the sort of things that insurance is really starting to pay attention to, is, okay, where are we getting lied to, and where can we start to correct? Unfortunately, they don't always handle it the way that we like. Some of it's very impersonal, and we call them nasty grams. You know, that we get a nasty gram from the company where they're asking for information that just seems ridiculous. But they're looking to protect themselves from excessive losses.
Yeah, and given just the current state of things, you understand why they're so testy about it.
Yeah, we don't like it, but we understand.
Yeah. So returning to the topic of big carriers and small agencies, big carriers like Allstate having a hard time. Do you think that this provides a unique opportunity for smaller agencies like yourself, the independent operations, to basically come in and take some of that market share?
To an extent. I mean, they're put in a position where they have a claim, terrible season in Louisiana. It could trickle down all the way up to our area where we're going to deal with a lot more like regional style companies and less nationals, more kind of central to our area. So you may, if we have a opportunity to switch them over to a market that didn't happen to take increases in this last year, maybe it works out to their benefit. Mm-hmm. The actual like us versus the big guy, David and Goliath, so right. to say, whatever it is. Now, I honestly think we're on a very similar page. They're just doing it on a bigger and broader scale.
Right.
And we're doing it like a little more individualized, personalized, and in your community. So
you probably feel like you guys have been taking as much of a schlacking as any of the other insurance carriers then, eh?
I mean, me personally, no. Like I started my business back before COVID, and I had a lot of people that felt so bad for me because starting during COVID, and I'm like, actually, it was great. I was able to shut the doors, lock the doors because we weren't supposed to see people and make some phone calls. And when I would call, say, hi, Miss, is your, you know, do you have your driver's license with you? She'd go, yeah, it's right here. And I say, okay, I'm going to need your husband's as well. And she'd go, okay, yeah, here it is. Honey, I need your driver's license. That doesn't happen. Currently, the way it works is we're sending emails back and forth and we're trying to track it down and things take so much longer. We were able to do quotes so quickly back in the COVID days.
That's funny.
So fast because everybody was right there. They're all in the same room and it was super efficient. So, and now with the hard market, with it being so difficult. Yeah, it's not fun. It's definitely not fun. We do not like being the face of
right.
the insurance companies right now because the rate increases and the way they're handling things. But as the small one in our community that's kind of growing in that, we get a lot of the trickle down from everybody else that saying, okay, well, I'm frustrated. I've been with these guys for a while. Why don't I go check out the new guy? And I won't complain about how that's worked out.
Fair enough. So I got a different kind of question now. So I don't know how insurance companies often work, especially their relations with each other. But I know a few of the last 4 years, I think is fair to say, we've had a few moments of economic strife, specifically with things like banks going under. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that we saw is that some of these like second level banks, big in certain states, they're not in others, they fall apart. FDIC comes in, they secure all the clients, but then other bigger banks come in and they start buying them out. And these bigger banks start getting bigger. And then there's it's a wider distance between the small guys and then the really big guys. Do you think insurance, given that we're going through a period of fair bit of turmoil, is there a similar risk with insurance companies at the moment?
Yeah, that's a really interesting question. The local small mom and pop style independent insurance agencies are something that the bigger companies are coming in to swoop up. The bigger independents, I should say.
Really?
You know, we don't have State Farm coming and knocking on our door saying we'd like to buy you, but we do have the big independent that is now 10 times our size coming in saying, we'd like to buy you.
Oh.
And then what they do is they say, okay, come in and work underneath us. You keep your job, you keep working for your company, but you're officially going to be part of our team. And it allows them to save money by buying in bulk and using systems, shared systems, and doing like they can save a lot of money. And insurance can be a very profitable business on our end if you're doing it right. And so, we do find that a lot of independents, even in this community, we've seen in the last few years, some of the bigger and really good independent agencies locally have sold. And they sell to these big company out of Florida or this big company out of California or whatever it is. And they go from being a beloved locally owned to now we're doing the systems the way that this company wants us to do our systems. And we're going to do things a little bit differently. So yeah, it's out there.
So obviously we're small business owners. We're interested in keeping like the small mom and pop alive. Do you think when it comes to insurance, though, the average consumer is going to see a big difference if all of a sudden their private insurance carrier ends up getting bought out by the mid-size insurance group in Florida? Are they going to see a difference on their end, or?
They're only going to see a difference if they're seeking personalized help in that situation, because what we find is that once that happens, there's just different, there's a different response.
Gotcha.
We tend to sit back and wait a few months. And then as soon as like everything kind of gets put into place, we start getting this trickle down from all their customers reaching out to us saying, okay, well, I can't get a hold of anybody anymore. And,
right.
and when I do call, now they've got me assigned to this person. And I asked them where they're at, and they're down in Phoenix. Like, okay, that's not what we're trying to do here.
Right.
So yeah, it does impact them in that way. In terms of like rate, no, it's going to be the same rates, whether they're with them or us.
And gotcha.
Rate-wise should be the same. And in certain situations, like I think of like commercial lines, they may need a certificate of insurance. There may be a system in place with theirs that is all of a sudden better. Like they may see improvements in that. So, but I think on a personal end, you're wanting to discuss potential things with your auto policy, that gets to be a little more difficult under that situation.
I've heard someone describe, I think it was actually about insurance companies as well, funny enough, where like they'll sell out to another group, they'll come in and everything stays the same for 3 years.
Yeah.
And then after 3 years, then they'll come in and it's like, okay, now it's actually time to make some changes because we've retained all the clients. Now it's time to turn you into us.
Yeah. I've done that twice in my life with companies that I worked for.
Really?
I was with a company, they sold to another company. And that first year is actually usually pretty great. That first year, they say, oh, no, no, this is special. This is great. Let us show you all the things that we do for our other companies that you're going to enjoy too. And so you're like, oh, this isn't so bad. And then they start making the changes to, okay, where are we over profitable? I know in one of those first changes, I had somebody call me up and say, okay, describe to me your job. And I went, uh-oh, I'm in trouble because the place I was working for had a very specific job title that I had. The new place that bought us, they didn't really have that position. So all of a sudden it got to be a little scarier moving forward.
Yeah, you were at risk of redundancy. Oh, that's weird.
Yeah. So I do think that that's not just insurance. I think that's when a company sells that at first you get to see some of the really fun introductions and it can be actually enjoyable. And then usually it's and now here's how we're going to save some money. And when a company saves some money, it's usually less fun for both the customers and the people working there.
Yeah, no kidding. So let's talk again about the weird times that insurance is in. So as an insurance agent, I'm sure you have all of the answers.
Yeah, all of them.
So tell me, how do we fix this insurance crisis? How do we bring down insurance prices? Do we have to fight for 10 years? Do we have to sue companies?
We got to stop making so many claims. I used to be in advertising and I loved my job in advertising, but now it makes me really angry to watch insurance advertising because they'll sit there and tell you, you know, if you had cut rate insurance, this wouldn't be covered. Okay. Well, even if you have good insurance, that's maybe not a claim that you should be making. And that's something that I think advertising has pushed the common person to say, I'm going to make a claim any chance I get. Plus, honestly, it's people don't like insurance. And so they look for opportunities to get their money back on it. And in that situation, we as an agent have to jump up and say, no, hold up, hold up. Let's do the math. And a claim's going to stay on your record for 5 years. You have a deductible that's this size. The actual amount of money that you're going to be making back is only this amount of money. By the time they do their rate increases, and if you ever want to shop around again, that's going to affect you as well. So it all kind of plays a role that I think a lot of these geckos and such are just saying, yeah, it's an easy system. Just plug in what you want, plug in if you have a claim, here's how it's going to go. And you're not protecting yourself from yourself. But I think if we can get claims to get knocked down a little bit and start writing policies the right way with the right companies so that the risk is with the right place and they're being covered the way they intend, then I think those are all things that could help. I still don't see rates going down at any point in the future, but it would be a really good way to help things stay stable for a longer period of time.
So this might be too cynical. And so tell me if I'm wrong, But is there a business model in insurance where you're almost incentivized to encourage the client to make claims so that in a few years' time, you raise those premiums and you're always going to be offering them the bottom dollar policy? So they're always going to stay with you, but you've encouraged them to keep making claims over and over again. So they start increasing that revenue. Am I understanding that? Is that a model for some companies?
I don't think it's a model for any of the companies, but you're 100% right that that's something that could be done.
Ooh.
That is absolutely, like, if you have a situation, I remember when one of the marketing reps came in and told us that there was going to be rate increases, like that they're coming and they're coming hard, 21, 22, 23, you know, be prepared. They're on their way and they're going to be in the 20% plus range for multiple renewals in a row. And it was, you kind of go, oh, okay, this is not going to be good. You know, please give me some good news. And she said, well, the good news is you're going to get a raise. It's tough because she's not wrong. Mm-hmm. She's not wrong in that we're a commission-based business. So if something goes up, that means our commissions go up as well. Mm. I'm not trying to get rich off the backs of my friends. That was never my intentions. I wanted to serve them and figured if I did my job well, it would lead to a good paycheck. That's what I intended. So when she says that, my argument was pretty direct in saying, no, you're about to make everybody's lives a lot worse, just so you know, including mine and my employees. We are going to have to take phone calls that we're not used to taking, and we're going to take a lot of them. Mm. We're going to make more hours than we want to. I'm going to have to pay these people more hours. There is a lot of, I'll trade you for the lower rates.
Right.
I will always trade you for the lower rates. So, but you're right. If all of a sudden somebody goes out and says, well, rate increases. Yeah, let's cheapest of the bad. Yeah, let's go ahead. Let's keep it going. Yeah. If you're getting a commission as a salesperson, then that does make an impact.
So clearly that means insurance agents are taking advantage. They're making more money. Yeah. This is what they want.
I don't think anybody wants this one on the insurance end because it's, you might be making slightly more, but you're definitely making less per hour with the amount of hours that you're working and the stress that you're taking and the amount of coffee cups and potentially alcohol cups that I'm drinking. It's definitely something that is going to impact your happiness in many ways. It makes the job very, very difficult and frustrating at times. And nobody has sympathy for the insurance agent. Nobody wants that. And that's okay. Like, we didn't get into this to get sympathy. But we did get into help. And it feels like at times that we can't really help when we want to when the market is this way. So, no, we prefer the steady rates. And I would love if the rates went down. It would make it so that I could start really promoting, hey, give me a call. I can help save you some money in this. And at times, we're more of a, hey, give us a call. We'll make sure you're in the best spot. It's not the same argument. So,
right.
Yeah.
So do you think then the average insurance agent is doing better now than they were 5 years ago? Or do you think that they all across the board, or I should say generally across the board, want to go back to 2019, 2018?
Oh, I don't think you've got people out there saying, oh, thank God for this. You know, maybe the guy that's no longer putting in the work that owns a company that is spending his days on the golf course and everybody else back in the office is doing all the work on it. Maybe his paycheck bumped up and he says, oh, that was great. But I doubt that because like I've said before, that the people that get into the industry are usually those that are wanting to help. I would say most people, because it's not a quick fix, you can't make money right away. It's a longer term thing. I think most of the agents that you're going to encounter out there are going to be bleeding hearts that actually care about their people. Mm. And when these sort of things go down, it's, they're doing everything they can to help and they don't, they prefer the lower rates. So,
and again, perhaps this is too cynical, but do you think Geico and Progressive are shedding the same tears right now?
No, well, we work with Progressive, so they're one of them. I would definitely say that the bigger companies, they're shedding their tears and that the claims just aren't working out the way that they wanted. Mm. And so it's been very expensive and their loss ratios aren't what they need them to be. And they're making the adjustments. And, but I mean, don't get me wrong. I tell people all the time when they have claims and we're setting them up with an adjuster and getting everything working, I'll say, remember, this person goes home at night and this person sits at a dinner table with their family and they're not going to brag about how they ripped you off. They're looking to help you. So just work with them, let them help you. And if there's anything we can do to jump in, anything feels weird, you know, let us know. We'll see what we can do to jump in, but we're connecting you and making sure that you're being taken care of by the company we set you up with.
Right.
I would say on that note that Geico has a bunch of great human beings working for them and Progressive has a bunch of great human beings working for them. But no, I don't, they don't have that same local agent that has to look you in the eye at the grocery store. So,
right. All right. Well, I think that's about 30 minutes. So I think it's a fair time to close this out. And then you're going to be back with me in a little while. We're going to be talking a little bit about myths and unpleasant truths about insurance. I'm going to put you on the hot seat again.
Oh, lovely.
So, Marty, thank you for joining me today. Everyone else, I hope you enjoyed today's episode of A Businessman's Guide to Almost Everything. Come back next time, and we will continue this riveting conversation. All right. Take care, everyone.